The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You're back with Total Information AM here on KMOX. I'm Megan Lynch. President-elect Trump opposes the sale of U.S. steel to Nippon Steel. He's proposing to use tariffs and tax incentives to revive the American company. That could have an impact on U.S. steel operations here in the Metro East. We're joined now by Bloomberg White House reporter Josh Wingrove. Josh, give us a few details about what Mr. Trump is saying about this proposed sale.
He's been opposed to it for some time, but, you know, during election campaigns, a lot of things get said, so it's always notable when they get said after the vote. But his concern here is he simply doesn't want U.S. Steel, headquartered, of course, in Pittsburgh, to go to a foreign buyer. Now, the issue is that the company hasn't been thriving, really, and that's why they were sort of on the block for this, and Trump wants instead a domestic buyer. The background here also is that Biden has opposed it, and the case currently is going to go to his desk, not Trump's. In other words, it looks like it's on pace for a resolution one way or another before the inauguration, and Biden has stopped short of flatly pledging, hey, I'm going to try to block this thing. So it's kind of up in the air right now, and the big question is, will Biden block it? Is there any way that it slides to Trump, who's saying flatly that he'll block it? And if it does get blocked one way or another, what does that mean for U.S. Steel, in particular the union-run facilities of U.S. Steel, which are many of them around Pennsylvania, of course, which put a sort of political lens on all this in the campaign?
Let's talk about that political lens, that political importance of U.S. Steel to any president, specifically because of its location.
Yeah, I mean, this was an issue both in the Senate race and the presidential race there. The union, which is also based in Pittsburgh, of course, the United Steelworkers, are pretty staunch opponents of this, or at least the union leadership is. You've been having individual union members, including local presidents from affected plants, come out in favor of the deal. So it's a complicated one. And so right now that is sort of hanging over all this, including a threat by U.S. Steel to move its headquarters out of Pittsburgh, you know, home of the NFL Steelers, right? So there's like a lot of lore around this if this deal collapses. And so that's one thing right now. But right now, investors are really betting that it will not proceed. The price of the shares is trading well below the offer price. And this is all a bit unusual because it's going through a process called the CFIUS process. This is a panel that reviews deals normally for hostile countries like the Chinese trying to buy, you know, a computer facility or something near a military base or that kind of thing. It's very unusual to have it, A, aimed at steel companies, and B, at a Japanese buyer, Japan, of course, being a pretty key ally country of the U.S. So we're in uncharted waters in a lot of ways on this story, but, you know, this deal was announced 1 year ago. It's just sort of been ups and downs since then, but it does look like it's coming to a decision one way or another. Whether legal fights come after that is another question.
We're talking with Bloomberg's Josh Wingrove. Josh, I think a lot of people are curious like how this proposal of Mr. Trump's for tariffs and tax incentives could be used to revive U.S. steel.
Yeah, Trump loves tariffs and has done them on steel before. He's not specified what he would do again, but by and large, he seems like he would increase the taxes on people who import steel from anywhere other than the U.S. and therefore try to boost the market for domestic suppliers like U.S. Steel. One of the issues, though, is that U.S. Steel needs investment. Some of these plants are not in great shape. That's part of the appeal of the offer from Nippon Steel, the Japanese-based company. Can U.S. Steel meet the demand even if you start putting up tariff barriers around it? I think it's an open question. And the company has sort of been gravitating towards moving its facilities south, away from unionization. So it's a complicated landscape, I think, right now for them. But, you know, U.S. Steel used to be this, like, American giant. It's not quite that anymore, but it's sort of, like, got this sort of hallowed history that put this big political sort of spotlight on it. And the question is right now, you know, do you want to choose a sort of an uncharted, you know, waters where you kill the deal and now just, you know, what happens to U.S. Steel domestically? Does it get snapped up by a domestic buyer? There is one based in Ohio who offered a lot less, or is now signaling it will offer a lot less, I should say. They offered slightly less at the time. Or do you, you know, is there a way to do this deal that would help jobs ultimately in the states? And I should note that some people are more on the fence on it. The governor of Pennsylvania, a Democrat, Josh Shapiro, has publicly stayed more neutral than Trump and Biden on it, and it's not really clear whether he, you know, is leaning one way or the other. So it's a complicated question. These ones are always dicey, but it's a huge deal, $14 billion deal right now. Like, you know, I think $55 a share. It's trading at something like $37 a share right now. So it's a big gap. And yeah, like I say, a couple of weeks or a few weeks here until there looks like there'll be at least a decision, or it'll go to Biden's desk, or there'll be some sort of delay again. And there have been delays already.
Josh, while we've got you, since you are Bloomberg's White House reporter, I want to get your take on a couple of things that are happening right now. Number one is the backlash for President Biden's pardon of his son, Hunter Biden. You know, that was announced Sunday night, and it seems like the backlash has built over the last 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, just a complete reversal. You know, the president had said flatly that he would not do this. He said flatly that he wouldn't commute the sentence, which means cut it short, or pardon, which is sort of a wider eraser. And he just, they say, has changed his mind over the Thanksgiving holiday, which I should note was spent in part with Hunter Biden. The criticism, of course, is coming from Republicans, but also from Democrats, including Senator Michael Bennet of Colorado, Marie Guzman-Perez, a frontline Democrat in a sort of Republican-leaning district in Washington state. So it's not just Republicans who are saying that this is eroding the notion of an independent judicial system. And of course, this is coming as Trump wants to really dismantle a lot of at least the existing norms with it, both with his nominee to lead the FBI, and to a lesser extent, maybe his nominee as Attorney General. Trump wants to shake it up, and has, of course, long claimed that the judicial system is going against him or targeting him. The concern from Democrats who criticize this is Biden is sort of now giving cover fire for Trump to do that, because he is also fundamentally accusing a sort of political infection in the judicial process. So it's a complicated one, but definitely one that will hang over. I mean, Biden spent decades trying to, you know, create this image of himself as a defender of institutions, and this is a pretty significant flip-flop from him, of course. He flatly said he would not do it, and he did it.
Well, we're weeks away from inauguration. One last quick question for you. What needs to happen for that transition between now and Inauguration Day?
It's in process. Trump has announced a lot of, or pretty much his cabinet, I think. I guess all his cabinet now, and he's moving on to second sort of level type of appointments. The meetings are ongoing. Biden is trying to rush stuff out the door and tie things up as in a bow as he can, including another round of Ukraine aid, which remains very much up in the air into how Trump will handle that conflict. So, Biden sort of dotting his I's, crossing his T's as Trump prepares to take on.
Josh, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you. Take care.
That is Josh Wingrove, Bloomberg White House reporter, joining us this morning on KMOX.